Hi, welcome back to Valpkonsultpodden. I am Valpkonsulten and my name is Petra Harvankova. The year 2021 has been a different year, not so much different from 2020, but different from the other years before. And it's a year where I started this podcast, so I had the possibility to start something new, as many of us probably did as well, either willingly or non-willingly. You've been pushed to doing new things because the old things didn't work anymore. And many of you have got a new family member in a form of a dog or a cat, but there are thousands and thousands and thousands of new dogs in families all around the world, because people have been sitting home isolated, and what they come up with was to just get a new dog, not to be as alone, I guess. And with that comes a lot of questions, and I'm here to answer these questions. So both in the podcast, but you can also find me on Instagram as Valpkonsulten or on Facebook as Valpkonsultpodden. And you can contact me on my webpage, valpkonsulten.com. It's been a great year. I really love doing this, and I really hope you want to listen to me next year as well. I'm going to take a break during the Christmas and New Year. So we're going to be back with season 2 in January 2022. And I'm so happy you wanted to listen to me and you wanted to be here with me. Please continue doing that even next year. Love you! Have a great day or a great night, and have a great life. This episode is going to be a summary of last year. I picked the best of 2021 for you, so you can just relax and listen and have fun.
And then when you have the puppy in your home, it's very important that you are sensitive to the signals that the puppy is showing, the tiredness, the signals of being tired, which is, as I said, that the puppy slows down. If it's on the leash, it will maybe sit, or it will go much slower. It will start to go behind you. These are signs of a tired puppy. Then you take a break. You make a break. Or if you're already on a walk, you just sit there and wait until the puppy gets more energy. Or if you have this, there's special backpacks where you can have your puppy in a bag. All different carrying systems where you can carry your puppy on your body. So then you can take up the puppy and carry it for a while. And then when it has rested, you can let it run again. The concern about going stairs, up or down the stairs, there has been a study that showed that if puppies under 3 months walk stairs every day, they had a higher risk of having canine hip dysplasia or developing canine hip dysplasia. So I would recommend that you don't let your puppy walk the stairs up and down many stairs every day. But walking stairs every now and then is not harmful. There's as well jumping as one of the questions. How much jumping can my puppy do? And generally it's like, if the puppy can come up itself on the hinder or on the surface that is higher up above the ground, and the puppy can reach there by itself and can jump up, then it's okay for it to jump down as well. But if the puppy doesn't reach there, for example, if we're talking about a sofa, if you need to pick up your puppy and help it up to the sofa, then you should also help it down from the sofa, because then the sofa is supposedly too high for the puppy to be jumping down from. It's very important that puppies have range of motion in all their joints in all different ways, so that they can be running around on all different surfaces. It's really important to introduce all different surfaces already in the socialization period, the first 3-4 months, because then the puppy will not be afraid to walk on all different surfaces. And surfaces, I mean grass, concrete, asphalt, stone, walking in the river, walking on soft things, walking on hard things, walking on things that sound strange. And when you let your puppy do that, then they will not be afraid of it. And then the body has also a memory of doing that. So it will be much easier for the puppy to do that for the rest of its life. And if you don't show your puppy all different surfaces, then when you show it when the puppy is an adult dog, there will be fear. The puppy will be afraid of it. And when you're afraid, or when the puppy is afraid, it tenses. The body tenses. And when the body tenses, it's much higher risk to be traumatized. It's very important for the puppy to learn all different surfaces in your house, in the city, and in the nature. Enrichment for foraging can be done by hiding dog food in your home or in the garden so that your dog needs to search for it. So you either spread the kibble around your house or your flat. In the beginning, you need to start with showing your dog how this game goes by letting them sitting in the same room while you are hiding the kibble. Then you make it harder and you let them wait behind the door while you are hiding the kibble. And then an advanced version of this is that you hide it without the presence of the dog, and the dog has to search for it in a dark room so you don't put the lights on. And you of course need to scale this for your dog from easy to more advanced. You can also experiment with this. One possibility is that you can hide bits of kibble in carton boxes of different sizes. Begin with having one box that is low enough that your dog can see inside of it. Start with throwing a kibble in the box while your dog is watching, so she can go and get it directly. Then let the dog sit so she sees you and have multiple boxes that fit into each other from bigger to small, and put them inside each other. In between them you put the kibble, so your dog then has to figure out how to get into the boxes to get the kibble. A more advanced version of this is that your dog doesn't see you putting the kibble into the boxes and putting the boxes into each other. Then you let your dog figure out how to get the kibble out. A great tool for foraging enrichment activity is snuffle mats, sometimes also called activity mats. They are mats made in textile where in between small pieces of textile you hide the kibble and your dog needs to sniff for it to find it. This makes the dog eat slowly, so it's not only an enrichment activity, it's also a tool for dogs that eat too quickly when their food is in a bowl. So they have to slow down because they have to search the food. Another great toy that will occupy your dog is a Kong. Kongs are toys with hollow spaces in them that you stuff with food and freeze it. Your dog then has to get the food out of it. They are made of hard, non-toxic rubber. You can use canned food, rehydrated, freeze-dried food, barf, peanut butter, mashed banana, lactose-free yogurt or cheese to put on and inside the cone. Important is to rotate the filling, put in different foods so the filling doesn't get boring for the dog. In the beginning, when the Kong is new to your dog, smear some food only on the outside of the Kong. You can smear peanut butter on the outside, for example, and freeze it. And then
In the next step, stuff the Kong only lightly so that it is not very hard for the dog to get the things out of the Kong. Finally, when the dog understands how to get the food out, you can fill it all and stuff it in hard. And then you freeze it. Then when you need a while for yourself, for example, you just need to work and you want the dog to be safe and occupied. So you just take it out of the freezer and then maybe it lasts for half an hour. The same thing you can do when you're leaving the house. You can leave the Kong somewhere in the room so that the dog will find it during the time when she or he is alone and then will have something to do. There are many other versions of hiding food in different things, so your dog can play a seek for food games. Like having a laundry basket filled with old towels or other cloths and putting and hiding the kibble in between the pieces of fabric. And then you let the dog sniff for food again. I am very environmentally conscious and I use local traffic a lot here in Stockholm. And now it has happened twice in the last month that I have seen puddles of urine inside the subway. They were in the middle of the way, not anywhere in the corner or by a garbage bin. Like if a puppy or a female dog has sat down and peed. Might have been a kid too, but I don't really think so. And that led me to think that there are many who acquired a dog during Corona period and that maybe not everyone knows what is okay and what is not okay to let their dog do. It is an unwritten rule that you do not let your dog pee on expensive car rims or on the neighbor's mailbox. But for me it is just as clear that if my dog needs to do his needs in the middle of the floor in a metro station, that I as a responsible dog owner take my handkerchiefs or other paper I have with me and dry the urine so people don't have to step in it. So if you have a dog and travel by metro, please carry some kind of paper with you so if an accident happen, you can clean it. But maybe it's just me who thinks so. Would be fun to hear some response to my thoughts from you. What do you think? What is okay to let your dog do in open spaces? I think it is also quite distasteful to let your dog pee on flower pots that some cafes and shops have in front of the entrance. It's disgusting for me to see that. Then imagine when they will take in the flowers in autumn, how they smell then. Another unwritten and perhaps even written rule is, if a dog I meet is on a leash and my dog is not on a leash, that I call my dog to me and either put it on leash or that my dog can go foot when we pass the other person with the dog. So, the YouTube channels that I have seen and the tutorial videos of some of the dog trainers are often mentioning a crate. Crate is another word for a cage. It is a word that better fits today's dog owner, because calling a cage something else might make it sound less harsh. But cage is what it is. Here in Sweden, it is not allowed to keep dogs in cage of any kind, no matter what you call it. Does it resemble a cage? So it is a cage. Even as a veterinarian, if you want to give a prescribed rest to a dog after fracture repairing surgery, you have to ask for a special permission for just that one individual dog. You have to apply for exemption from the law, and you have to write why you motivate that this specific dog needs a rest in cage. How many days and for how many hours of a day? You apply at the Swedish Board of Agriculture, which is an authority under the Ministry of Agriculture, and sometimes they will reject your application. As I'm writing this, I realize that it's funny that even a professional like a vet is questioned in every single case when an animal should be put in a cage. But I have to say, I rather do apply every time I need to put an animal in cage as a therapy than that everybody puts their animals in the cage and nobody thinks it's strange. What I want to say with this is that there are a lot of dog trainers on YouTube, and many of them are actually recommending things that are not legal in some countries in Europe. So I suggest that you check with your local authority what is okay and what is not okay in the place where you live. And I also suggest that if you live in US, that you start making pressure on your authorities to start implementing better animal welfare laws. I'll be happy to hear your opinions on how we can make it better for the animals that we keep, both as companions and also the animals we keep to eat. And probably we should start recognizing, and we have recognized, that they all have feelings and thoughts and bonds with their families. And by eating them, we're probably, I don't know, who are we to eat other creatures? Like, isn't that a relevant question? Who are we? Why would we eat someone else? Follow me on Instagram, where you can find me as Valpkonsulten, or on Facebook, where I'm as Valpkonsultpodden. You can also reach out to me on my web, valpkonsulten.com. Thank you so much for listening to me. It means a lot to me. Have a great day, or have a great night, and have a great life.